Blog Talk Radio.
Benvenuti tutti, and welcome to the premiere episode of Like Thelma and Louise. During this episode, our co-hosts explore modern mythology through movies, and specifically look at the film Thelma and Louise as a modern myth for empowerment, self-reflection, and personal growth. My name is Louise, and let's check in with Thelma as we jump right into the show, Modern Mythology on My Mind. Let's listen in as Thelma and Louise reflect on the film and how the storyline impacted their perceptions of feminine power and relationships. Hey, Thelma, are you packed and ready to go?
Hey, Louise, I'm ready. Ready to roll. How about you?
Excellent. So a couple weeks ago, I rewatched Thelma and Louise and didn't realize it's been like 25 years since the first time I saw that movie. And it was so fun to revisit the movie a couple weeks ago. It was a reminder of what I thought about the movie and some of the things that stuck out about the movie the first time I watched it, and then what I noticed the second time I watched it. So it was kind of cool. One of the things that totally sticks out of my mind is, of course, the end of the movie, the scene where they're driving the Thunderbird into the Grand Canyon, which the first time I saw that, I mean, I cried, and not so much that they were ending their lives, but crying from the metaphor that that represented for me around how desperate sometimes women are in relationships, or how desperate they are in their circumstances, and that they felt like there was no other option other than to the Grand Canyon. Makes me think about some of the times that we've driven into the Grand Canyon with some of our choices.
It's true. Or how many times we fantasize about actually driving into the Grand Canyon. I mean, I really think it's more common, I mean, with people, not just women, but for people to really fantasize about just ending it all and driving off a cliff. But to your point, they really were backed in a corner, literally backed on a cliff, with no choice but to die at that point after a series of events that got them there.
Yeah, and just the whole kind of snowballing of the circumstances that, you know, you make one choice, one decision, and can escalate from there to the point of feeling hopeless and with your back up against the wall. And no option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, after you had, you know, I watched it again recently, and I wanted to look back to, and find when the movie first came out. It was the summer of 1991, and I was 21. I was going to summer school, college that summer. And you are what, 13 years? Well, how far apart? We're 13, 14 years apart.
I had just finished graduate school that summer.
There you go. And you're, what, early 30s, right?
Yeah, mid-30s.
Mid-30s. So then think now, 20, 30, all these years later, and when I watched it again recently, how different it was for me to watch it again after going through life, living life. I mean, I just started living, you know, when I was 21.
So what stood out for you? What was different this time when you watched the movie?
Well, I could identify with Thelma more at that age, particularly the stuff, you know, around men and the insecurity and the drinking in the bar and the making out in the bar in the parking lot and the naivete of not, you know, that guy, Harlan, clearly had one thing on his mind and she was just having a good time. And then it literally turns into shooting him in the parking lot because he's raping her on the hood of a car, you know?
Right.
I remember that particular, that having a very, you know, I mean, it's the age thing where I identified definitely more with Thelma at that point. Now, this last time I watched it, I identified more with Louise. And I think, I mean, just in terms of age, but I think the different dynamics. She was the caretaker, really, of Thelma, you know, in her role in that movie.
Right.
So yeah, it's just interesting, is, you know, to go through life and through our journey, and to there are just so many parallels. And like you said, the metaphors are there just one after the other in there.
Yeah, and to your point, when I first watched the movie, there was a part of me that initially super identified with Louise and her character. And I wanted to really connect with Louise because I saw her as being so strong and capable and competent and having her shit together, and I really wanted to be Louise. But there was a part of me that identified with Thelma, and a part of me that resisted identifying with Thelma, because back to your point, it's like we've all been there, you know, out, having fun, you know, just all flirty and no intention of having to go anywhere beyond that. And then how someone else wants to swoop in on, I don't know if it's vulnerability or probably more exploitation of someone else's perspective and naivety, I guess. Which just infuriated me. I mean, that just really infuriated me. And having worked in the criminal justice system and seeing how that process works or doesn't work for some people also was really quite frightening, knowing that if they did go back and face the charges and the circumstances, that, yeah, there was a likelihood that they would be the ones in jail and then it wouldn't be seen as self-defense. It would be seen that they, you know, brought it on or teased on or whatever all that BS stories are in our society around women's roles and their interaction with men. But
Absolutely.
That's a whole nother
because
topic.
There was the undercurrent with law enforcement and even the people at the bar that guy deserved it. Everybody knew that this was who he was and he did it all the time. But still, these women were going to go down for it because they shot a man. You know, it's interesting
exactly.
As I think about, this is one of those movies I wouldn't be surprised if someone redid in current form, because it is an example. The more things change, the more. I mean, this is an example of it really, not much has changed. If you were to put modern characters, modern issues in that movie, it would be very interesting. And it would also be interesting to see how the public received it, because when it came out, it was really pegged as a feel-good two-girl buddies going off on a trip movie.
You know, that's an interesting point and true. And that was one of the things, the person I went and saw that the movie with 25 years ago, the first time, walked out and said, I didn't like the movie. I didn't like the way it ended. And I just looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? That ending was such a huge metaphor for feeling desperate. And I was like, you just don't get it.
Mm-mm.
And I was with a man. So I think, I mean, even though there are probably aspects of the characters in the movie that all of us can identify, I do think that it is probably more relevant to women in our Western culture.
Well, and when you,
anyway,
you know, fast forward to where we are today with sex and sexuality and all the layers, and, you know, I mean, we've always had sex and violence, I mean, forever, the beginning of time. I mean, I personally think it's amplified. I think, you know, the access to porn and the normalization of a lot of behaviors. And that's not me criticizing. This is not me criticizing what it takes for people to get off or what their preferences are. That's not what I'm saying. There are boundaries. There is permissive and there is exploitive, right?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. And back to your point around there always has been sex and violence. One of the other things that I've been interested in recently, and that's looking at mythology. And part of what I've been looking at mythology, it's related to studying astrology and having a better understanding of the archetypes of the various signs and the planets and blah, blah, blah. So what I find fascinating, what's so fascinating about Thelma and Louise and Why recently was about the whole intentional mythology. So this most recent time of watching the movie, I did it through the lens of mythology and looking at the common thread with storytelling. And one, in a lot of ways in our current culture, how we don't have mythology in the old sense of stories that have been passed down over generations, where there's a common theme around the hero or heroine, depending on the story or the culture. But one of the things that fascinated me about what I've been reading recently on mythology is, one, that all the cultures, whether it's the mythology in the continent where India is located, the mythology of Native Americans, the mythology of the Greeks, the mythology of the Romans, of the Egyptians, there is a common theme around it. And the other piece that's so funny, and I also think about this with Thelma and Louise because of their evolution of their roles in the movie. Like you said, initially, Louise was the caretaker of Thelma. You know, have you packed? You're bringing too much. Did you tell Daryl? You know, on and on and on. Have you, you know, what are you doing? Did he give you permission? Blah, blah, blah. And then Louise trying to clean up the mess of the shooting. And then how Thelma, again, makes a choice, a very trusting choice about leaving that money with that hot young Brad Pitt character. And then they lose other money. And then at that point, Thelma feels responsible, and then the roles kind of shift. There's Louise, who's in a pool of tears, going, what are we going to do, feeling helpless and feeling totally out of options. And then Thelma takes things into her hands. She's the one now in charge. One of my favorite quotes of that movie is this, her talking about, I think I found my calling.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, and you just feel the energy shifting in the movie, and you're sitting there, and then, I don't know about you, but there was a part that just rose up in me, and I'm like, yeah, me too. Gunslinging, yeah. Driving across the, I mean, it was a modern day Western, really, you know, if you were to put it, for women, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love that. It's totally a modern day Western. That is so cute. Yeah, in a Thunderbird, I mean, shoot. There's probably some horse somewhere called Thunderbird.
But these women had to be pushed to have permission to be and to get to that place. And they'd be pushed in, it's not about men bashing, but in real Westerns, men just, you know, they're outlaws. It's okay for men to be outlaws in a different way that women, back to the mythology,
yeah,
aren't necessarily allowed to do in our culture.
And one of the other things that stood out for me in terms of a quote was, I think at some point Louise was asking Thelma, are you awake? They were sleeping or something, and Thelma's response is, I'm wide awake. I've never felt so awake. And just how, you know, as the movie progressed, watching that transformation and Thelma herself waking up to her own power and her own competence and her own ability to take charge and responsibility for their circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long that trip actually lasted. I don't know if it was days or a week in terms of real time. But you knew, too, at the end that if they got that much, that it was all worth it, and at least they had woken up. Right? Better to have loved than not at all type thing. But, yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, right, is all the threads of different kinds of love throughout that movie. Self-love. Well, that's the primary thread, self-love. You have the different dynamics with the different men.
And, you know, what's else interesting about what you just said around the self-love, that's also part of the underlying thread with the mythology, whether it's Egyptian, Greek, Native American, it's around the exploration and the journey. And the journeys look different in the different cultures, but they're similar. There's trials and tribulations along the way. Along the way, you meet people who can help you. They don't necessarily look like a hero or heroine at the time of your interaction with them, but it turns out that they have some either key tidbit of either information or a weapon or some saying that opens a door or opens up a new perspective or possibility for the main character in the myth. And I saw that in the movie as well. It was so much fun to look at it from that mythology perspective. And as I had started talking about earlier, got me thinking about our lack of modern day mythologies, or at least in our current culture, how we do not rely on mythology as a tool or a mechanism for that self-development and that self-exploration. But that's what mythology was all about, is reconciling the feminine and the masculine internally, looking at our characteristics and looking at the shadow. And I don't imply the shadow as negative characteristics, just the characteristics that we don't always recognize in ourselves, like Selma didn't recognize her characteristics and ability to really dig deep when it was needed.
You know, it is really interesting to think about this within the mythology framework, if you will, and you think about what we've been going through with the election. And I don't even mean politically. I mean, of course, you can't not talk about the political aspect, but with the male and female energies, the polarity, you know, the dynamics of all of it related, frankly, I mean, to this movie. And I mean, I went to Pilates this morning and I sat next to a woman who just sat there and she just said, she works in Washington, and the conversation was, you know, do you have to go to work tomorrow, or the whole inauguration, and, you know, what's the next week look like, et cetera, the march, everything, so much going on the next week. And she just had this like bare look in her eyes, blank look. And the woman said, are you okay? And she said, you know, I didn't realize till this week, but I've been very, very depressed. And it just, it was interesting to see. And it just kind of, you could just tell. And she didn't want to go on about it. But she said, I just have a lot of healing to do. And I personally decided yesterday that I know that I have to do the same thing, because every time I see something in the news, every time I see the name, every time I really keep going to a deeper, darker place that I do not want to go to. But it's the same kind of energy that I recognized preparing and thinking about this, was it's just, it feels like a violation. But I don't think it's just women. Mm. I think it's, you know, but back to the mythology point, when you think about it, because it's not going away. That's kind of what hit me this morning. I mean, you know, in our society, we're just supposed to bounce back. Does it, whether it's a death, whether it's a job, whatever it is, well, pull your boots back on and get on back up out there. It doesn't work that easily. You know, for us to start, I think, as a nation, framing this in a different way, recognizing, but we don't have anybody talking about it like this. This is a paradigm shift. And you look back through centuries, there are all kinds of different leaders, and there will continue to be different leaders. And there's a reason for this. And, you know, I'm sure you have some insights from the astrology perspective, you know, all of that. But, you know, you're right. I mean, just all of those different levels and the types of mythology, I wish we could frame the story in a way that people could hear it differently. For some people,
yeah,
I mean, everybody hears it differently anyway, but.
Exactly. And that's the thing that I find kind of fascinating, is how through our sophistication, industrialization, and technology, that we've gotten to a point where we have negated the mythology. Even in our education systems, we don't about it. I mean, I remember in high school reading Homer, the Odyssey, and some of the shortfall is, I think, the way it was taught and presented, it wasn't made relevant, and there wasn't an opportunity in the teaching to make the connection from, you know, these ancient times where we couldn't even relate, and bringing it and making it relevant to today. And I think if someone had made the connection or explained the connection around sort of evolution and personal development and self-awareness, that it would have been a little more interesting. And I love that you're talking about, I agree with you, that we don't have anything to fall back on and to help us negotiate and navigate through this huge upheaval or shift from some of our perspectives. It's a huge, you know, it's a huge upheaval for everyone, regardless of how
right, no matter what your side you're on, it is absolutely, that's right, yeah.
It's a huge upheaval, and there's a lot up in the air, and that we're not grounded to any ancient mythology that can provide guidance or direction. And recently, not because I am so hooked into the mythology thing recently, I've been watching a lot of shows and movies placed in, like, the 16th century or, 16th, 15th century, like watching the Medici and Marco Polo and some other things. And back to your point around if we, you know, unplug from our current situation and reflect on the leaders that we've had over centuries, you're right. We've had all kinds of leaders. Oh, watching The Crown and, you know, watching Queen Elizabeth and looking at how leaders in republics were run, you know, back during the Middle Ages before the Renaissance really evolved and bubbled up from all of that. And myself, just reminding myself that there were different points over history where we thought it was the worst thing that could happen, and then in retrospect, understanding it was the best thing that could happen. I mean, I have to keep telling myself that when the United States, before it was formed and broke away from the British and became its own separate colony, that there were a lot of people that were dying for the belief and their own belief of, no, we need to stay connected to the British, and thinking that that was a horrible decision and a horrible idea. And so I have to keep reminding myself that this may not be the worst thing that ever happened to the United States. It may feel like it right now, but we don't know how this is setting us up for evolution down the road.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you're of the mindset that everything happens for us, that everything is always happening for our highest and best good, if we can stay in that place, then I do believe that's true. Even when you think of the horrible atrocities that have happened through centuries, that are happening today, they're happening right now in Syria and, you know, in all of that horrible. It's very, you know, easy for us to sit here and literally to, you know, go to a different place and say, oh, and I mean, nobody would say, well, that's the best thing that could be happening. But it is the pendulum swinging, right? And that is what causes people to do different things and what does make change. And I don't know. I mean, it's not easy. It's all very, very complex for sure.
It's totally
complex. But if we could sit back, like you said, yeah. But we don't. We don't have, and you know, I think technology, certainly with all of the benefits, you know, there have been lies and, you know, misreporting or whatever you want to call it, you know, forever. And the way stories were handed down and misinterpreted, I guess, through the years. And now it's just so fast. And I think energetically, the inundation that we all get so quickly and constantly is just overwhelming, at least for me personally. I really have to just not even look at it. But it is. I do believe in that whole addictive nature of it and, you know, that we are reprogramming our brains, you know, with all of this. Every time you click on your phone and go to look at the news, you know, unless you make
exactly.
a very conscientious choice not to do that, not to watch TV, not to look at any online news, not to. And people do that. I mean, that it is a choice for sure.
Well, and I think this is where the mythology could come into play when we are looking at that news, when we are reading that, instead of totally unplugging from it, looking at it from the place of that it's not all so literal. And that was, I guess, the biggest thing in my own discovery of delving a little deeper into mythology and wishing I paid attention more in my undergraduate studies in humanities around the Renaissance, around the Middle Ages, around those stories, what we do in Western culture, in our modern society, is we make everything so literal. Like even the stories from the Bible, I mean, on some level, that's a myth. And it has common threads with other mythologies from other cultures. If we looked at it from that context, if we looked at it from the place of common threads versus I'm right, you're wrong, us against them, and that mentality of having it be so literal that then we're like, well, those of us post-science era where we know that the world isn't flat, we know that there's more to physics and gravity and black holes and planets and galaxies, that during the times when some of those mythologies were being written and shared, people didn't have that level of understanding and knowledge and access to it. And back to your point that we all have access to it. Boy, you just Google search anything these days and can find out and dispel some of the theories out there. But I think that's one of the biggest distinctions for me personally of looking at mythology, is how in our current culture we take everything so literal and we have so much data and science to substantiate that we're like, you know, we throw out the whole mythology because we're like, well, that couldn't happen. That's impossible. Well, yeah, it is. But if you look at it from a metaphorical sense, there's some awareness and some understanding and some self-knowledge to be gained.
Well, and to your point, you have to be able to go, yeah, to that side of the brain. So we live in, I think, primarily a logical society, right?
Oh,
so
totally.
All of what we're looking at now is based on, it's fear-driven. So just like that gal this morning sitting there, she looked at me and she said, well, the Democrats have got to fight back. They've got to get mean. They've got to get, and I felt like she kicked me in the stomach. I'm not either party, but I do know that as a person, a human in my experience, I do not want to get in the mud with anybody. I don't want to play that game. I don't want to perpetuate or continue or build on the bad behavior. But what I recognized and what we recognize in everybody, whether who it's why people voted the way they did, why they didn't, it is all fear based on their own survival. Whether you're looking at coal, whether you're looking at big business, bank, whatever it is, and everything we read is driven by fear and survival. So that's our reptilian brain that, you know, first kicks in right away to say, well, I have to do this if I'm going to survive. And I'm going to kick everybody in the teeth on my way to make sure that I get to where I need to be and get what I need for my own. And right. But that's kind of like, it's like a field of war in a way when you kind of sit back and look at everything that's going on. You know, we do it in different ways now.
Well, you know, exactly. And what I really love about what you just shared is that on some level, what her saying, we've got, you know, the Democrats have got to fight back. On a certain level, we need to look internally and stop fighting ourselves internally with our shadows and mm-hmm. find a way to reconcile internally the two sides of the coin, because that's what it is. I mean, some of us predominantly may identify externally in our day-to-day lives with that one side of the coin, but the other side is there.
Well, and you summarize all of this perfectly, Louise. I mean, exactly what you just said goes back to the movie. It goes back to daily life. It goes back to centuries, to where we are today. Know thyself. You know, getting to know, looking at those shadows. I mean, that's all. I mean, not to oversimplify it, because it's not that simple, but on the flip side, to your point, it is.
It is that simple, and it is our responsibility on the planet. And back to your point mm-hmm. around everything over history and the different leaders, it's like, and the atrocities that are currently going on and have gone on forever, it's like, it is an evolution of our souls. It's not to blame the victim, and it certainly isn't to negate the experience. But we all have a responsibility in what's going on by the choices that we make now.
Completely agree with you.
Well, Thelma, it was great connecting with you again and talking about the movie and reminiscing about our road trip through the Southwest and into the Grand Canyon. Thanks again, and we'll come back and connect next month on another topic and another issue around feminine power, relationships, and personal growth. Thanks a lot, Thelma.
Thank you. Onward and upward, Weez.
Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao.